Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
And I would say, it's a horrible night to have a curse. That's right, it's Halloween, baby.
It is the month of Halloween. Yes, it is all 31 days because we're fucking goth and deal with it.
I mean, it's the whole year, but we're going to be, like, the worst about it this month.
Keep Halloween in your heart all year round?
All year round. Remember, pumpkins and spooky are the reason for the season.
So what antiques are we talking about this very spooky week?
We are talking about the incredibly controversial vampire hunting kit. Yeah, yes, I thought you would be excited about this one.
I came so close to buying one at Ren Faire.
Well, I hope...
They make Olivia so angry.
Hey, Olivia, are you mad yet? So, I guess right off the top, like, this is an antiques fraud.
What? No!
Yeah. I can't keep up the ruse because I won't be able to keep my disdain.
Helsing doesn't reel?
Well, no, Helsing does reel. But he was probably just, like, an old guy who ran around, like, kicking corpses back into the grave.
He's a fictional character in Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah, well, he's real, though.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, sure. But he's real. So, Ken, what do you know about vampire kits?
They are a collection of artifacts, usually a belt with a bunch of pouches, bottles that may or may not contain holy water, stakes, OBV dot, possibly dried garlic, and usually a crucifix.
You left out a couple of things.
Oh, what did I leave out?
Pistols.
Wait, what?
Pistols, well, we're gonna get into why you made that noise. Actually, you know what? Why don't you just tell me why you made that noise?
Because guns are useless against the vampire.
Interesting you should say that.
Bullets are not Dracula's only weakness.
Not silver ones?
Those are werewolves.
Someone should have told Van Helsing. Because a lot of these, I would say the bulk of them... Helpfully, there was a blog that, like, separated all of the vampire hunting kits into subcategories. And the largest one involves pistols and molds for making your own silver bullets.
Can I live on this blog?
Yeah, I'll give you the links later.
Thank you.
Other things that might be in there. A mysterious serum with a needle. Brimstone. Mirrors. Consecrated earth. Communion wafers, I guess, to feed... to the vampire.
Would you like a snack, Mr. Dracula?
Liquid silver, which I'd make fun of, but people are feeding it to their kids, so it's not funny anymore.
No.
Or bag of sand, rice, or grains.
Oh my god, yes! Yes, yes, yes! We are going deep, vampire lore.
Yeah, we went all the way back.
So excited. Do they have just, like, those camelback backpacks you can create running water real quick?
It's a squirt gun. It's yes. A goddamn fucking Nerf gun.
Fuck.
Bad vampire. Yeah, water actually doesn't come up, like, at all unless it's holy water.
Boo.
So it's usually, like you said, an assortment of these things that would ostensibly be used to hunt down and defeat a vampire.
And all the accessories, such as the belt, the pouches, and what have you, are usually leather that has been treated in some way to make it appear antique. And also very cool.
Yeah, I see you're getting the gist of this already.
Listen, here's the thing. They're fake as hell and I want all of them.
One of the other things that I noticed about them when I was looking through them is that they all claim to be... Okay, all is wrong. I should avoid, like, definite statements, but...
Most
of them claim to be for travel and lack handles. So, like, that's...
You are clutching it to your chest as you run away from the vampire.
Very curious, yeah. This is my unwieldy box that I will be taking on the train. Supposedly, the deep lore goes that this was the brainchild of a Victorian man named Professor Ernst Blomberg.
So when you say the story goes, do we mean the lie goes?
I thought that was implied with story, because I didn't say history.
Ah, okay, because you said it started with a Victorian man, and I feel like...
Yeah, so you tense up physically, you're about to attack me.
Given my existence as the Venn diagram overlap of vampires and Victorians, I feel like if this man were real, I should have read about him by now.
A lot of people think the same thing. And it turns out there actually is, in history, which admittedly record-keeping not always so awesome, maybe two gentlemen by the name of Ernst Blomberg, neither of them even remotely in the area of messing around with vampires or even guns.
Can we fix that?
We could, if you want to be Mr. Ernst Blomberg.
Yes.
Nom de plume.
Am changing name. Am now Ernst Blomberg.
So the idea is that this Professor Ernst Blomberg, which, as you presciently stated, has absolutely no evidence of existing, started making these in response to the Dracula craze after Dracula took off in Victorian England and later spread to America.
Or, alternatively, started in America, spread to England, and then returned to America because it is a matter of historical record that Bram Stoker was, in fact, inspired by the Mercy Brown vampire incident in Rhode Island.
See, this is, I was so glad to do this one. I was just like, oh, Ken's gonna pick up so much of the slack of this. No, okay, so before I go any further, like, I do want to ask, what was the Victorian... It was really hard to get a read on this without reading, like, 19, like, journals, and I know you've read them all. So... So I was just like, Ken'll cover it. What was the Victorian attitude towards vampires?
Up until Carmilla, and then later Dracula cementing it, they were more akin to zombies. Just like a corpse that feeds on the living and returns to its grave. It was a folklore thing from Eastern Europe? Question mark. And that came over to America with immigration. And then became a really handy explanation for tuberculosis.
I see.
Because at that point they thought tuberculosis was hereditary. Because it seems to happen to whole families at once.
Only one explanation.
Almost as if you have the healthy family members sharing a bed with the sick family members. And they're all breathing the same infected air. Because the tuberculosis people are aspirating the bacteria every time they cough up a lung.
Which is wild because this postdates miasma theory by like a long way.
Miasma didn't really get disproven until the cholera epidemic ended by Jon Snow in the mid-19th century in London.
Okay.
The Broad Street Pump incident.
Okay, all right.
And that proved that germs are real and maybe wash your hands, but it took a while for that idea to sink in.
Okay.
So miasma theory was mostly gone by like the end of the 19th century.
Okay, well that does explain it.
But pre-mid-century, it's kind of still the prevailing idea, which is part of why in hospital reform at the time, the big thing was, hey, windows, promenades, lots of open space so we can get all the air through here and get all the bad smell out so people don't get sick anymore. Which worked, but not for the reasons they thought.
I love how adjacent to the truth they were the whole time. They were so close.
I also love how far off fucking topic I've already gotten.
Yeah, but I'm really... Well, I asked. So, like, this is my second question is, did the Victorians, and yeah, that is, like, American, English, all of them, did they believe that vampires were real? Was that, like, a prevailing concept?
Not to be an asshole,
but... To the Victorians or me?
Not to be classist, but
okay.
Among rural people lacking formal education, yes.
All right.
It was in certain parts of the American countryside. I'm not sure about the English countryside, but in certain parts of rural America, yes.
Is that classist? I've always wondered, but yeah, those kinds of myths always take like a much stronger hold, like the lower down classes you get.
Yes.
Yeah, it is kind of hard to talk about this without feeling like a dickhead.
Yeah.
There's not, like, neither of us are trying to, like, belittle these beliefs, but it is kind of how it happens. But I think that's interesting because you would say that those are not moneyed people.
No. But there's also, so, okay, your entire family's dying of tuberculosis, everyone's wasting away with blood on their lips.
No! No, no, no!
And everyone is following their siblings into the grave.
I don't want to.
Okay.
They can go without me.
And then you dig up one of the dead siblings...
Why?
And there's blood around their lips, and they look very, full of life, fleshy, healthy, almost. And then when you stab that corpse in the chest, it screams.
I don't know, so you know just, or like where you're going here.
So you've just confirmed that vampires are real, through science. because you dug up the corpse, you saw that it had eaten blood and looked fresh and healthy and alive, and it screamed when you killed it again.
You know, I know the answer to literally all of those things that you've posited. Yes. And it still scared the shit out of me to think about.
Yeah, because it's fucking horrifying.
Because it's really scary.
So what's happening is corpses bloat.
Yeah.
Because of the gases being released by decomposition. And also because of those gases, if you puncture a hole in the skin, air will escape from within the corpse through now a very small ventilating hole, which will create a scream.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like a deflating balloon.
Yes.
But it's your grandpa.
Or your sister.
Or your sister. You keep... I don't like... I don't like the way you looked at me when you said that. Like, don't kill my sister.
I make a point of it being sister and not grandpa because tuberculosis notably struck the young and beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Because it was like the sexiest disease.
It was incredibly sexy.
And we've never had a disease quite as sexy.
Listen.
Triple E's coming close.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry. I'm making light of it because it scares the shit out of me.
But yeah, this extremely scientific approach to vampires reached its zenith in America with the Mercy Brown vampire incident of the 1890s in rural Rhode Island, where the Brown family of farming folks were all one by one dying of tuberculosis, and the mother and two or three of the sisters went, and then the brother got it, and the dad was like, all right, well, the neighbors won't stop bugging me about vampires, so I guess it's time to dig up my family. So,
Natch.
Dug up all the ladies in the family. Mom's very obviously a corpse. Sister's very obviously a corpse. Except for Mercy, who looks as fresh as the day they laid her in the ground. So clearly, Mercy's the vampire.
Well, yeah, ob.
So they dig her up, cut out her heart, burn it to cinders, then mash those into, like, a drink, and then they give that to the brother.
No.
To cure his tuberculosis.
No, please, yes. God, no.
It's science, D.
It's just science. It's just facts.
We have proved this works through repeated experiments.
Logic doesn't care about your feelings.
Exactly.
Eat your brother. Oh, I'm sorry, your sister. Eat your family.
Now, here's the thing. They buried Mercy in winter and dug her up in winter. So she'd kind of flash frozen and thus stayed very fresh.
Well, the good news is that they probably didn't catch any foodborne illness from her.
No, but I don't think eating the heart, which is an organ full of blood, helped prevent the transmission of
illness.
Tuberculosis.
She's probably dead long enough that the bacteria died.
Also, the brother already had it, which was why they were feeding him the heart in the first place. But still, it's not like... I wouldn't recommend anyone follow this course of action.
Yeah, please don't. And absolutely, even if you do, don't tell anyone you heard it here.
Tell them you heard it on the dollop.
Yeah, tell them you heard it on the dollop. They'll deal with it.
I think it's episode, like, 4, American Vampire Panic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very good.
So I just wanted to establish that it was a real belief.
Yes.
But it was a folk belief, which means there wasn't really a unified... Okay.
Folk science.
It was a folk science, but am I correct in assuming that that means there wasn't really a unified approach to dealing with it?
I mean, the general approach in rural America was dig them up, see if they look alive, then burn bits and eat bits.
Okay.
That was the general pattern. There was an earlier incident predating the Mercy Brown incident in New Hampshire, but we have fewer details from that one because there were fewer notable people attending.
bunch of freaking nobodies.
People who did not go on to write best-selling novels.
Yeah, a bunch of freaking nobodies, I always call them.
God damn it.
My other question would be, do you know at what point culturally the idea that staking them specifically became, like, the idea with vampires?
I don't know for certain. My best guess is it got wrapped up with Vlad the Impaler.
Okay.
Although whether they connected it to Vlad after the fact because they were already impaling corpses, or whether they got the idea from Vlad.
Okay. So that it was probably like an evolving theory, like...
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know in Dracula, he just straight up, like, ganks him, right? Just stab. It's not like especially theatrical how he kills Dracula.
Spoilers, D.
Spoilers for Dracula, I guess.
Spoilies.
Don't spoil Cats, 16th century Italy, or Dracula. The other idea is that these actually predate Dracula.
Yes.
And were actually used against the real threat of vampires.
No. Here's the thing. No one in the Mercy Brown incident or in the earlier New Hampshire incident had a vampire kit.
They didn't have a goddamn kit.
Nobody had a kit.
Well,
everyone was just a doctor and or a minister, which was as good as a doctor.
Yeah, and I think it's going to keep coming back to the idea that, like, much like the famous quote that is not famous enough for me to remember who said it, how do you kill a vampire anyway because they're not real? There are, like, a lot of... Like, over time, there were a lot of different ways. Like, you said specifically in the Mercy Brown case, a lot of burning was kind of, like, the standard approach.
Yeah, I get sort of most things.
I can't help but notice that when we listed off stuff you might find in the vampire kit, like, Tinder wasn't one of them.
Interesting. No flasks of oil, which are standard in any good adventuring kit.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, we're just... I know that I'm taking, like, an overly scientific approach, something we all know is fake.
No, but, like... Vampires are creatures of science, as I have aptly proved already.
Yeah, you should eat them.
Yes.
Okay. And the use of religious imagery is actually just kind of stock in store for anything bad you would combat with God, right?
Yes. Much in the same way silver was considered magical because it had mild antibacterial properties, and therefore silver could be used to combat anything bad... Jesus is the source of all good, so you can use Jesus to combat anything bad, up to and including vampires.
Okay, yeah, so we're not gonna like, stay there too long, because that one actually makes sense. Ish. I don't wanna... Anyway, sorry, everyone. God Christ, this is hard to talk about. Silver, just for the record, makes a fantastically poor bullet. And it's very difficult to make, because silver has a reasonably high melting point.
Unlike lead.
Unlike lead, which we usually use for bullets. Others suggest that... They weren't actually used, but that the vampire kits did date to about the Victorian era and were sold to gullible Victorian tourists when the middle class became a bigger thing and they started touring Eastern Europe, specifically Romania.
I want this to be true so badly, but I fear you are about to crush all of my dreams.
I'm sorry I am.
God damn it.
I hope you've grokked already that there's no easy answer to what, if any, of these are true, because the easy... Well, there is. No. So these have a really long history of selling at what I'm going to call bonkers high prices.
Well, to be fair, even if you are manufacturing them, you are gathering a lot of things together.
That's what a lot of people argue, but you might want to reconsider when I say some of these prices.
Okay.
So you go to eBay, hundreds to thousands, which does, like you just said, make a modicum of sense given that the individual parts might be relevant, historically interesting, old. Otherwise respectable antique houses... sold for upwards of $10,000.
Sorry, what?
Yes. I did find...
Sorry, what?
I found a proven...
Do they have fucking fleems in there? What are they doing?
Actually, one did.
Yes.
But that one was being sold as an art piece. A little more on that later.
Okay.
Christie sold one for $2,000.
Wait, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, sorry. We already...
Sorry. Back up 8,000 miles. Christie's sold a vampire hunting kit. Now, I know they don't have, like, a great history with provenance and reliability on that front, as evidenced by their Jefferson wine and their chairs and their, I don't know, check out our Christie's Histories episode, but, Christie's sold a vampire hunting kit?
For $2,000.
Okay.
Sotheby's sold a vampire hunting
kit. What the fuck?
Yeah, I know, we all had faith in that one.
No, we didn't.
Well, do you want to know how much Sotheby's sold vampire hunting kit for?
How much did Sotheby's sell fucking vampire hunting kit for?
$13,000.
So what you're saying is I should be able to get hired at Sotheby's.
Because clearly absolutely
they're just
should.
Taking anyone.
Okay, all right, full disclosure before we continue slandering the names of the auction houses. But like, we can stay under them a little. They used the phrase allegedly liberally in the listings. But I think we've talked before about, like, willful misleading and how and maybe you can intuit how I feel about peppering allegedly so you don't get in trouble.
Like we do.
Yeah, allegedly, like we allegedly gothic lifestyles. So that's Sotheby's and Christie's, which you may notice are absolutely some of the highest names in the antiques business.
The only two auction houses anyone has ever heard of, yeah.
Yeah. Thousands actually kind of seems to be the median price when you poke around. Which is, like, alright, I'm gonna jump forward a little bit and say, looking over them, the very few, even if you combine the individual parts, would warrant that.
So, When I think thousands of dollars for a vampire hunting kit, I'm thinking custom-made leather belt with pouches, so there's a lot of craftsmanship going into that in the first place, and then every item in it being at least vintage, if not antique, so you're getting old bottles, you're getting old knives, old crucifixes, vintage communion wafers.
Yeah, vintage, Surprisingly few of them had the belts, which was disappointing.
God damn it.
A lot of them did have a lot of handcrafting. The biggest problem is that more often than not, they're sold to you as Victorian vampire hunting kits, and not an art piece meant to resemble a vampire hunting kit made from antiques and artificially aged crafts.
So you know how I feel about falsely advertised Victorian goods.
This is maybe the worst one.
This is everything I love with everything I hate mixed into a horrible slurry.
And it's important to remember that when Sotheby's posted it, it didn't say art piece. It said allegedly Victorian vampire hunting kit, which does change how you're viewing a listing.
Just it being on Sotheby's changes how you view a listing.
So which is why it is generally commanded from these respected antiques places and auction houses that you be very specific.
And also accurate.
And accurate.
And not deliberately misleading.
And if you don't know, you're supposed to say straight up, we have no idea. But you can buy it, and you can find out.
If something has no provenance, which I can guarantee these didn't, because they're fake.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe mention up front, Sotheby's, that it doesn't have any fucking provenance.
Yeah. And there's no historical precedent for these things existing. Because you may notice you've done, I would say, almost a criminal amount of reading on the Victorian era.
I can't help but notice that you're looking over my shoulder at my bookshelf.
Yeah, 90% of which is related to the Victorian era.
And what isn't Victorian is also a lot of vampires.
It's vampire or Victorian fiction. Yeah, I feel like you, given your twin passions, would have heard about this.
If these were real, I would have found one and stolen it by now.
Yeah, and we're talking about a guy who has a collection of intensely grotesque boiler accidents specifically.
Listen, those have nothing to do with vampires and everything to do with
what I'm saying,
life finding a way, chaos theory.
What I'm saying is that you are a meticulous researcher. And you know what you're about.
I try. I do my darndest.
Oh, another thing I found, a lot of antique periodicals, notably Antiques Trader, articles referencing these auctions have mysteriously disappeared.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You find old early 2000s blog posts that'll reference these on the Wayback Machine, and they link to nothing on a periodical that otherwise has excellent archiving.
Now I want to send some incredibly rude emails.
It does seem like they may be embarrassedly scrubbed reference of something that turned out to be fake.
Read it! Show me your lies!
This is a wild story, but doesn't fit in, so I won't. Also, a Harrisburg, Pennsylvania mayor was brought up on very serious embezzlement charges into the hundreds of thousands. One of the things he purchased, among other art and artifacts, was in fact a vampire hunting kit.
So what you're saying is this mayor was trying to protect his citizens under the table from vampires.
What I'm saying is that he was mayoring over Hellmouth, and maybe we didn't appreciate him the way we should have.
Into every generation is born a mayor. He is the slayer.
He is the mayor. The mayor slayer, if you will. So.
Mayor the vampire slayer?
Buffy the vampire mayor? I'm the mayor of Vampire Town now.
Fund it.
Joss Whedon. I have a job I finally won't fire you from.
I feel like we can give the project to someone else.
Never mind. Taika Waititi, you're in.
Yes.
It's just Taika Waititi and Guillermo del Toro together.
They're the only ones allowed to do vampires
they
anymore.
Really are. They really are. Holy shit. I heard del Toro's doing a werewolf movie. I am so excited. Right? Right? Yeah. I've never been more excited. He's the only one. So, back on track. Are they real?
Yes.
I thought, okay, you changed opinion wildly.
Oh, no, actually they're not.
Short answer, no.
Oh.
Long answer.
No.
No. So, the only antique thing about them is, as you mentioned before, that a lot of their individual pieces are genuinely antiques. In fact, the boxes they are in tend to be antique boxes. Which is perhaps why they are so ill-suited to actually being a travel box.
But, like, Victorians did travel. They did build boxes better for traveling with. I am thinking specifically of traveling Wardian cases because I never stopped thinking about the Victorian Fern case.
Yeah, I know.
But, like, a box with handles and straps is not, like, out of the realm of possibility for them.
No, but for the look that these need to have, they tend to go with a lot of hardware boxes, toolkit boxes.
Those are portable.
They are less portable than something that has handles and straps, of which almost none have.
Sorry, they have toolboxes without handles?
It's for storing in your garage. You don't go anywhere with it.
Oh, so they're not like workmen cases.
No, not like a traveling workman, like a this will stay here case. Like, they tend to be very, like, heavy. I think one was a typewriter case.
Hang on.
Yeah, well, more on that.
Hang on.
But actually, no, more on that. I think you see where I'm going with this, where, like, it's not always super kosher. And some of them are handmade boxes, which is cool.
Yeah.
Because they are made in the old-fashioned style. With
handcrafting.
Beautiful joysting and all that.
Dovetails.
One thing that obviously sets people off who care about vampires is the mashup of very different killing methods that span decades, cultures, regions, and methodologies.
Oh, see, that wasn't bothering me at all.
That bothers me intensely.
Okay.
Well, because, you know, when you're talking about the Mercy Brown case, I noticed that they didn't stab her, douse her in holy water, throw sand around her, stab her again, put a crucifix up her butt.
Well, no, because the first thing worked. If the first thing hadn't worked, they would have progressed to other methods.
So would you say that having a kit would have been, like, maybe wildly over-preparing?
There's no such thing as over-preparing when you're facing an undead monstrosity.
It seems to me like if you just have a torch, you're good.
Okay, but if she starts running, are you going to throw the torch after her? Or yes. Are you going to grab a gun? Which will also do nothing.
Which will do nothing because she's a vampire!
Wait, okay, I have to know. Do any of these kits come with whips?
No, sorry.
Why?
Sorry, Belmont.
Are they even bothering?
Why am I even fucking here?
That seems so easy, because, like, if you're already making, like, a leather case, or a leather pouch, or a leather belt, like, making a leather whip, or, like, even just acquiring an antique whip isn't that hard. And if we're acknowledging that you're making a fakey pretend thing based on pop culture, Castlevania is, like, huge.
Yeah. But, again, most of these don't seem to be self-aware.
How can you create a fake thing without self-awareness?
Because you're trying to pass it off as something real.
Right, but you yourself are aware that it is not real.
This is getting very philosophical, and the idea is that they're making them to trick people, and it would be actually probably start... It would probably start setting off alarms with everyone if you're picking up video game references.
Honestly, a whip would do a lot towards convincing me of its veracity.
All it would do is make the vampire sexier.
Oh no! My shirt just slipped off my shoulder.
Which, granted, actually is probably more accurate to the Victorian era.
I sure hope no vampires crawling through my open window tonight.
It's the only thing sexier than tuberculosis is a monster born of tuberculosis.
Delicious.
So a lot of people who are keen on debunking this they turn to popular culture to kind of look at what would have been more likely. For even if these were curios being sold to gullible Victorians, it would be important that they had, like, a cultural touchstone, because not all of them would be Ken and have, like, an encyclopedic knowledge of vampires. And, well, I guess they would have knowledge of the Victorian era.
See, you say encyclopedic knowledge of vampires in the very same moment in which I am lamenting not paying better attention to the final chapter of Carmilla, because a vampire hunter shows up and has a kit and a methodology for dealing with vampires, but I don't remember what any of it is because they'd stop being lesbians by that point.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of people's. But so basically, my issue with Carmilla. So basically, there's a lot of doubt that firearms would have been people's, like, go-to thought for killing a vampire.
I mean, it's a go-to thought for killing most things.
That's the argument, is that, well, to be fair, a gun can kill lots of stuff. Some people made the argument that silver bullets weren't shown killing a vampire in pop culture until Montague Summers' The Vampire, His Kith and Kin.
True.
But like you said, folklorically, silver's always been used to combat things that are bad.
And I was wondering, when you brought up the mirrors being included in these vampire kits, are they silver-backed mirrors?
No.
Because if they're not silver-backed mirrors, they're not going to do shit.
None of the ones I saw were.
Because the reason vampires don't show up in mirrors is because mirrors have a silver backing and the magic of silver repels the evil of the vampire.
And you've learned that today now. Great. But yeah, no, none of them were period mirrors.
Well, they suck.
I think one was an IKEA mirror.
Wait. No, that's so dangerous. It'll set the curtains on fire.
To quote the Concrete Tomb of Hrodzka, which is a blog, you may or may not have had the same gut reaction I did. Hey, wait a minute. That's what a modern vampire hunter might pack, with silver bullets in case you run into a werewolf. But it's not what a 19th century vampire hunter would carry. Dracula met his death by Bowie knife. Carmilla was hacked up with an axe. Varney threw himself into Mount Vesuvius, which is so funny.
Varney the vampire!
Varney.
Oh god, I love Varney! If you want just a wild trip into the absolute worst and best of Penny Dreadful fiction, pick up Varney the Vampire and I dare you to finish it.
I can't help but reinstate that he did throw himself into Mount Vesuvius.
There is an entire chapter wherein three characters discuss whether or not they have remembered to bring matches. This is several thousand words.
So good. So Varney threw himself into a Mount Vesuvius, just one, and Lord Ruthven got clean away when Polidori got writer's block. I included that just because I thought that was very funny.
Fucking Polidori.
But it does sow like a seed of doubt that the people who are making these know what they're talking about. The Royal Armory in Leeds claims that the kits they own are for disseminating fake history, which I think is important because the Royal Armory in Leeds is one of the absolute, like, bottom line authorities when it comes to firearms, which they own this because the curator thought the firearms were interesting and looked into them and found that they were fake. And now they have a whole part of their museum where they say, this is fake.
I love them. I want to hug them. This is great.
Sotheby's cautioned their near $13,000 auction with, neither the existence of Professor Blomberg nor that of the gunmaker Plumdeux can be confirmed. Also open to question is whether these kits were ever employed successfully in the killing of vampires. So, like, they were pretty thorough about that.
More thorough than Christie's.
They didn't tell the truth about whether or not the stuff was all old, but they were like, I can't tell you for sure that it killed a vampire. I can't promise you that. I can promise you it's Victorian, I guess.
But does a vampire kit have to be successful to be real?
I guess Sotheby's thinks that, yeah. Notably, Plumdeux was a real person, and I don't know why Sotheby's said that. He was a real gun maker.
Could they not confirm that these specific guns were made by him, maybe?
That's probably it, but it just says neither the existence of Blomberg or Plumdeux could be confirmed. Like,
oh, wait.
He can be. He was a real gun maker. A lot of, like, gunsmith enthusiasts pointed out that he did exist, and he made guns.
Wait, okay. So they said, they said a bunch of fake shit was true, and then they said this is definitely fake about, like, the one true thing.
The one real thing. And I guess in one of the kits actually was worth the money because one of them had a Plumdeux pistol, which apparently are very rare.
Ooh.
So one person got their money's worth at least. But most of them pretend to be Plumdeux pistols because, as we'll find out later, that was a name chosen at random to sell the story. Maybe. Vamped.com, a digital magazine for vampires.
Yes.
Which I, again, maybe you know I included mostly because it's very funny.
Excellent.
When I clicked on it, they had an ad at the top asking for a survey of sanguinarians.
Yeah.
They have the article, 6 reasons why you shouldn't buy an antique vampire killing kit.
They're all incorrect.
I walked in assuming that all 6 were, I am a vampire, please don't. on the magazine for vampires, I thought they had a pretty clean-cut reason to beg me not to buy a vampire killing kit. It turns out they have, like, a really passionate, like, justified vampire rage for people lying about vampires.
I feel like it's only justified if vampires are real and they actually are vampires.
They're sanguinarians, Ken.
For more on that, please check out Last Podcasts on the Left's episode on psychic vampires. It's extremely good.
It's extremely good. For contemporary vampires. They point out a lot of the stuff that we've pointed out here about how the facts just don't add up. And of course they do rest a lot on the idea that Blomberg was not a real person and was ostensibly the name that got this whole thing rolling on the internet. They also mention that for rare items, which they all are billed as, Ripley's alone has 30 of them.
Believe it or not.
I swear to God. So they're fake. Or are they fake?
No.
I did really like this. Jonathan Ferguson, who I mentioned earlier, who is the curator of the Royal Armory of Leeds, says it's hard to fake something that doesn't exist.
Mind blown.
Yeah, I love the way science people talk about stuff. He refers to them as hyper-real and likens them to a prop or a magician's trick. He says that...
Are these augmented reality?
He has a really good quote that I am going to read here.
Okay.
So, although I had set out to debunk their very existence, I came to realize that these enigmatic objects transcend questions of authenticity. They are part of the material culture of the Gothic, aspects of our shared literary and cinematic passions made physical. Lacking any surviving artifact of vampirism, either folkloric or fictional, fans of the Gothic had created one to fill the gap. So whilst we at the Armory still plan to scientifically test our vampire kit, they did, it was from the 1980s, and there is the possibility that it's early rather than late 20th century in date, for me, the outcome has almost become moot. Vampire killing kits are genuine artifacts of Gothic fiction, and that still provides sustenance for our most beloved monsters.
I love him.
It is, yeah.
Amazing.
So, you know, I thought that was a really neat take. It's still kind of glossing over the number of people that are lying, but sure.
Yeah. I do still have anger for them at pretending it's Victorian when it's very clearly not.
As referenced, they did do a test on a kit and found that no individual part was older than 1950, and most of the parts were from 1980. The Winterthur Museum, who is also very respected in the science of dating artifacts, tested a kit and found that no individual kit item there dated any earlier than 1945. So even the individual pieces that are old aren't Victorian. And what's more, the first published reference to the kit dates to 1989.
So no reference to vampire hunting kits prior to 1989?
Not in print. It was in Guns and Ammo, which is great.
One, amazing. Two, I can't help but notice that vampire hunting kits arrived on this earth at the same time as Taylor Swift. Perhaps in preparation her rise to power.
I think it was me.
It was you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, who is responsible for this?
Buffy.
Buffy did it. She wanted us all to be safe, and here we are just making fun of her hard work. I feel sad now. Nobody knows. There actually is absolutely no central consensus on how this got started or why.
They have not tracked down the creator of the first vampire kit?
Well, as Mr. Ferguson mentioned earlier, he's pretty sure that this is just, the natural evolution of being interested in these things, that eventually we were always going to come here.
Right, but someone has to be the first.
That's true, but we don't know who it is.
If you are or know the first person to make a vampire hunting kit, please, for the love of God, email antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. We need to talk to you.
Our first suspect, an artist known as Cristobal, claims that seeing a genuine kit at Ripley's in the 1950s inspired him to make his own. All the copycats that are misrepresenting the truth of it are insulting because his were always sold as artistic conglomerations of modern and antique items as a curio.
Beautiful.
This is interesting given that he was a child in the 1970s.
Hang on. Wait. But D.
I know he's a vampire. I know exactly where you're going with this. Yeah, Cristobal's a vampire. That would be...
It's the perfect cover! Why would a vampire sell a vampire-killing kit?
Well, that would be ironic, given that, quote, in an alternate universe, Cristobal is a hunter and slayer of nocturnal blood-sucking beasts. Having over 100 kills to his credit. He is the originator of the modern primitive vampire-killing kit, made of necessity to fight against the vampires who infest Leeds Point, New Jersey. So sorry, New Jersey.
Sorry for being a vampire hotbed, New Jersey.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that to you, but Cristobal's there for you in an alternate universe. All of you in this universe are just going to die a vampire. Or New Jersey. I don't know which will come first. So that's one. He claims that he made these from the get. Maybe. Ripley's, believe it or not, makes the baffling claim that they've been finding these since the early 1900s.
They haven't.
They also consistently call them incredibly rare, despite having 30 in their own collection.
Now, as Ripley's invites me to believe it or not, I feel like I am exercising my right as an American to say not.
This actually gets in-depth on Vamped.com's article about why you shouldn't buy an antique vampire hunting kit, which confusingly never mentions that they don't want to die. Part of the interview of the Vice President of Exhibits, Edward Meyer, representative of Ripley's Believe It or Not, and I don't, they said, had he seen any of the Boston mail orders for that they claimed? No. Did he have or was he aware of any 19th century documentation confirming any of their age? No, actually we have nothing any earlier than 1990 mentioning their existence. This is a reference to the Guns and Ammo magazine. Did he know who any of the wealthy Americans that supposedly purchased these before trips to Romania were? No one specifically. And so on. Do you notice a pattern in his answers?
Somebody's evasive.
And it's almost like Ripley's is making money on this, so like...
Huh.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Sure they're telling the truth. More mysteriously, in 2005, a man on the now-defunct Survival Arts Forum, which was for... Yeah, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's for people who are interested in...
It's for fucking nerds.
A bunch of nerds who go out in the woods and think about what would happen if a bear ate them.
Fucking tactical Xbox nerds.
A man going by Michael DeWinter, which I think is hilarious.
Amazing.
He claims to have invented the kit in the 1970s. He was an antiques gun dealer, and after a bad trade, he had come into the possession of a bunch of busted antique pistols and wanted to come up with a fun way to sell them. He ended up combining with other antique sundries to sell the illusion, and he claims he never really intended for them to sell as anything but a curio, but a celebrity in California purchased one at the steep price of 1970s, $1,000.
Damn.
And he claims that the myth kind of erupted from there because celebrities don't like to admit when they've been had. It makes a lot of sense because he would know about Plum Dor the Gunmaker as an antique gun enthusiast, and he does provide a little background on how he came up with the professor, the fake Professor Blomberg who does not exist. He says it's a good thing nobody can find him because he made him up. It's compelling. It can only be seen on the Wayback Machine, and obviously it's never really been confirmed one way or the other. But to me, it's the best story.
Sounds legit. I believe him more than I believe Ripley.
And that's it. That's pretty much it. Pretty much everyone else claims that these are real, which is a lie. And those are pretty much the only leads we have. I personally believe Mr. DeWinter. Mr. DeWinter.
Mr. DeWinter.
Perhaps you believe Cristobal?
I have no reason not to believe Cristobal. Cristobal's saving us from the fucking vampires, D.
Vamped.com also asked the Sterling Associates, which is an antiques company, via Facebook. They asked, what evidence have you seen of the kit's authenticity? That is, it being manufactured in the 19th century. Because the sticking point, given all of the uncertainty about age, is to be genuine, it would have to have been assembled in the 19th century or the Victorian era, whatever you're selling. Their response, we believe that the boxes and the elements contained in the boxes to be 19th century.
Okay, but...
Sadly, we are not experts on vampire slaying kits.
Interesting, because... You're adjacent enough to that position that people are asking you questions about the authenticity of vampire hunting kits.
We are unaware of any manufacturer that fabricates these boxes. A blatant lie I found for.
Yeah. Maybe they're just severely unaware.
So
maybe they just have no awareness they don't have to speak of.
They don't have Google, but they do have a Facebook.
Listen, I know at least 5 people that applies to.
It is sadly very true. So the amount of research and the ability to research them is limited. It's not. Vamped.com did a pretty good job. When they were assembled, and if they were ever used to kill vampires, is beyond our expertise.
It's really not.
Vampires aren't real, so I actually think I could take an expert stance that it didn't.
The Brown family of Rhode Island would disagree.
I will kill the Brown family of Rhode Island.
Tuberculosis already did.
I'm pretty sure there's at least 40,000 other Brown families in Rhode Island who are now scared.
Don't think they're direct descendants.
No, but it's a common name. And also, the Brown family isn't dead. They're all vampires.
No, they killed the vampires.
So, that's pretty much it. That's, unfortunately, we have to rest on a mystery.
Okay. If there is any authentic portion to these vampire hunting kits, I would say it's the bag of sand and or grains of rice.
Those are really rice, yeah.
Because that is the piece of vampire lore that goes back the furthest.
Okay.
Is the vampires having a compulsion to count small objects scattered before them.
So if you saw a kit that had that, you would have greater faith in its authenticity.
I would have any. I mean, I wouldn't.
Greater than zero.
I wouldn't because we know that they're fake, but that is, like, the only thing in these kits that is specific to vampire lore that would have been in the public consciousness in the 19th century.
Okay. That does lead up to a question I had. You know, I was taking this all at the supposed expertise of people who love vampires intensely. Do you agree that there is an argument to be made that the methodologies of the killing are suspect, given how staggered the, like, public consciousness of it would be?
Yeah, no, the methods of killing vampires all seem very late 20th century pop culture.
Yeah, it's very, like, Nosferatu silent film era. There's a Hammer era, they call it, monster movies. All right, yeah, I wanted to confirm, because you are the expert on this.
Am I?
Yeah.
I feel like I need a doctorate.
You don't need a doctorate. No one needs a doctorate.
Can I get a doctorate in vampire?
Only if you change your name to Ernst Blomberg, and then you can be Professor Ernst Blomberg.
Can I change it to, like, a cool vampire name?
Yeah, fine.
Excellent.
So, I don't know, what are your thoughts? I'm really curious as to what your takeaway from all this is.
I want to own one and or commission our leatherworking friends to make one.
That's great. That's great. Oh, you know what? I'm going to start putting one together for you. Yay. There was actually a really interesting article someone made about how easy and cheap it was to put them together, which reinforces my earlier point that there isn't a single facet in which these aren't lying to you, because even as an art piece, they shouldn't be as expensive as they tend to be selling. And it is wild to me because usually when I run into these topics, the prices that are inflated are not realized prices. But I have overwhelming evidence that these realized prices frequently fly over $2,000.
Fuck.
It's really bizarre to see.
So what you're saying is I have a chance to make some real money here.
I am saying that, yes.
Excellent. And as you've said, I am uniquely qualified.
I think you could put together a more convincing kit.
To craft vampire hunting artifacts.
Yeah.
Excellent. But that means we can't air this episode.
Oh, we have to, though. Put so much work into it.
Okay, fine.
And they'll forget.
No one will listen to this.
So,
no one listens to this podcast.
So, final judgment is that don't buy a vampire hunting kit unless the price is right and you enjoy it for the piece of collage art that it is.
Yeah, at least respect yourself enough to get something where you can't see the mold marks on the glass bottles.
Yeah, there are a lot of people actually on Etsy who assemble them as art pieces and curios that you can commission for one.
Hell yeah.
And they have attendantly reasonable pricing. So yeah, if this did pique your interest, there are a lot of, like, non-liar methods to get this and support small artists. So that's cool.
Or check out your local Ren Faire.
Go to your local Ren Faire.
They probably have one next to the leather top hats.
Then they're probably not lying to you.
The leather top hats of the Renaissance.
You know, like they had.
The leather top hats with goggles and gears glued to the side of them.
You know, like the Renaissance.
Like the Renaissance.
Yeah.
I fucking love Ren Faires.
I adore them.
I love them so goddamn much. It's the greatest.
It's so good.
Let's fucking go.
All right, let's go right now. I don't want to do a disservice. I will say my primary source for this was actually the BS Historian. that was the link that you were inquiring about. bshistorian.wordpress.com.
Amazing.
There's a lot. You could go down a rabbit hole on that blog. It is incredible. It does a lot of good research. Has an entire series on fake vampire kits if you want to get deep, deep, deep down into the nitty-gritty.
Amazing.
He does, like, a lot of breakdowns of individual pieces of the kits and why they don't make any freaking sense. and also talks about the difficulty categorizing them and so on and so forth. It's really, it is a rich of information on the subject.
Not to interrupt sources, but I have to interrupt sources because I've just had a thought.
Interrupt the source.
So, bag of sand and or rice for the vampire to count.
Mm-hmm.
Aquarium pebbles, I feel, are very good for this purpose, and I can't help but notice that they make them glow in the dark.
Oh, so you can always see where the vampire's at?
Yes.
Good idea. Good idea.
Filing that away for my copyrighted, trademarked vampire hunting kit.
I want, like, a fully modern vampire hunting kit.
A fully modern but stunningly handcrafted to appear Victorian vampire hunting kit.
Oh, no, I was thinking one that, like, is stunningly handcrafted to look like it's from the early 2000s.
Oh, you want a cyberpunk vampire hunting kit?
Yeah. No, yeah.
Like a Shadowrun vampire hunting
kit.
Yeah,
I want, like, an LED-lit bottle of serum.
Yes. Yes. Blade 4.
God, one of the kits had, like, a letter in it, like a faked letter, where the guy was just like, I am now hunting the vampire that has killed 4 people in this small village. I pray it will not get me too. And it's like...
And it's like a bloodstain on it.
There was. Yeah, it's all, like, tea-aged and burnt.
Amazing!
Like, man, it really is something. My favorite is the ones that try to go older than Victorian or just don't understand what the Victorian era was like that do that, like, folksy misspelling.
Oh,
but without
yeah.
knowing the rules for how those things were spelled differently at the time.
Incroyable. I love it. So sources.
Other sources include atlasobscura.com.
Yeah.
Their article on vampire killing kits, which it was infuriatingly titled, does it matter if they're antique or not? It
yes.
does. RAUantiques.com, who were one of the large respected antique stores that were selling vampire killing kits.
Mm-hmm.
With the questionable overuse of the word alleged.
Alleged.
Their alleged use of the word alleged. Blogs.bl.uk. I have to read it out because I cannot remember what website that was. I included this one. It did have some interesting information, but mostly because the article is called History at Stake.
That's extremely good.
Yeah. That one had all the links to the Armory article.
Nice.
And vamped.org, 6 reasons why you shouldn't buy an antique vampire killing kit.
All incorrect because you should.
Which linked back to the writer's blog, Amateur Vampire Hunter. blogspot.com. So those are my...
This is amazing. I'm so, so happy. I'm so happy that you brought this.
I'm so happy that the vampires took a stand. I thought they'd never stand up for themselves on this subject. So that's my spooky dookie Halloween episode about how antique stores will try to lie to you. Don't spend $20,000 on a vampire kit.
Spooty.
Very spooty. Spoopy, even.
Ooh.
Some people call. Creppy?
No.
Is it creppy? I think Spoopy took the limelight unfairly. I think creppy is much better. I'm gonna take that stance. I'm gonna do the hot take.
If you would like to give us your Halloween hot takes, email us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com.
Putting up a poll, spoopy or creppy?
If you would like to purchase a vampire hunting kit of your own, we don't have any for sale at our Etsy shop at etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks.
And we won't, because frankly it seems like a lot of work.
We might, because I am determined to craft.
We might.
But probably not this year. We do, however, have a wide variety of other vintage goods that are authentic, so you can check those out.
You should.
And if you want to congregate, much like a coven of vampires, on Facebook, you can check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/antiquesfreaks and join our group, Antiques Freaks Friends.
Which is wonderful and I love everyone there.
If you would like to tell us about, I don't know, how this podcast is going, you think?
Just like, yeah, do you want to check in with us, see if we're okay?
You can leave a review in your podcasting app.
Yeah, wherever you're listening to this podcast probably has a way to let us know what you think of it, and here's a hint, you think very highly of it.
It will help us out immensely if you leave a review, regardless of star rating or what you type in. However, we do read what you type in, and it's all been very excellent so far. I am particularly enamored of the review that is titled, 2 stars, Charlotte only half frozen, and yet rated us 5 stars. That was very good. Thank you.
I thought you were going to reference the review that said it seems like 2 art majors just yelling at each other in their room. And I was just like, well, spot the fuck on, my guy.
You've done it, sir. You've discerned our truth.
Yeah, I think you actually just know us better than we know ourselves right now.
If you would like to listen to deleted scenes, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks. And while you're there, you can join the Random Vintage Postcard of the Month Club, where we send you a random vintage postcard every month with optional Christmas cards now available.
Yeah, if you're a Christmas-type person, that's an option. If you're not, that's also an option.
Christmas is opt-in, much as I wish it were in reality.
Opt-in to Christmas? God, I wish, right?
Can you amazing?
I really want Christmas to be between, like, me and myself. Like, I want to choose when and how I Christmas.
I want to just Halloween 2.0, if we're being totally honest.
I mean,
but
have done that. We have very successfully pulled that off.
It's very good. But we also have a wide variety of delightful vintage Christmas postcards. So,
yeah, so
if you want those, let us know.
And give us money.
Well, yes. Special shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees and getting us ever closer to our goal of releasing bonus episodes.
Someday.
Someday. Somehow.
I knew he was gonna do that.
Gonna shriek about Ripper Street on the internet, but not right now.
God.
I know you want to break away.
What? This is a different... Oh, no, that's the same song. I immediately skipped into, like, that Lindsay Lohan song. I'll spread my wings and I'll learn. And I was just like, why is he mashing up these songs in real time? That's so weird. But that was me. I did it.
And thank you for listening.
Yeah, that's right, you.
Specifically you.
And only you.